We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
The weather today, finally, could not be more beautiful. And I know for all of us, this has been a heavy and long week. And it is Friday. And that doesn't take away any of the pain of this week. It doesn't take away any of the heaviness. But it is Friday. And we have for many of you, a long weekend ahead. I would encourage all of you come Monday to remember what that day truly stands for and the freedoms that we do enjoy in this country and this wonderful country that we get to live in, even with its flaws. Good afternoon. And
you're
hello.
Way more optimistic than I am. And for that, I thank you because I think we need both. Today we have a mental health expert coming on from the University of Kansas Health Center in the 3 o'clock hour briefly to talk about not just, it's on a loop. How do you talk to your kids about this? I don't necessarily know that we need to reinvent that wheel, although we can take some questions about it. I mean, I have people very, very close to me, Scott, and overnight last night, and today was the day it's gotten really bad for a lot of us. I didn't want to come into work today. It's just gotten really bad in the last 24 hours. And for some of you, maybe you just turn it off and you don't watch the horror of Texas. You know, for Scott and I, we don't have the luxury to do that. And today was kind of my breaking point, buddy. I'm going to be honest. I'm not doing well with this. I cried all morning. I had a panic attack at work yesterday. I have friends who are teachers who are really not doing well today because all of the things and all of the billions of dollars we've thrown at this problem, really at the end of the day, this has shown us that there we have 30 enforcement career veteran coming in here. Talk about
the colonel that we'll play here shortly.
It's bad. And I think, you know, they knew every time they come out to give information about what happened, what did not happen, and just the abortion of a response here that led to the deaths of so many children. There's no getting around it. The lack of response here led to the murders of those children. Probably not all of those children. But if you're a parent, Scott, how do you put a number to that?
Yeah.
Was your child 4, number 10, number 16? Because those children were begging for help. They were calling 911, and no help came.
We'll get to the cuts here from Colonel Stephen McCraw in just a moment. If I could just share a very quick personal story. The reality of all of this kind of hit home with me this week. You know, and you've known my brother for years. My brother is Steve, affectionately known as Beaver. Beaver and I are very close. We're best friends. And he is in education. Now he's a vice principal, but for years he was a high school math teacher. Every summer, my brother will call me on his first day of summer break, and he'll call it like 9 in the morning and say, "Hey, what you doing, man?" And it's the same call for the last two decades. And I'll say, "Oh, I'm just, you know, working out the house, getting ready to vacuum." And he goes, "Oh, what time are you going into work?" And I'll say, "Oh, you know, I'm probably going to head in by 11:30 or so. What time are you going in?" I'm not. I'm on summer break. And he's done that for 20 years. I didn't get that call this week. Oh. And his summer break started Wednesday morning.
I'll tell you, call a teacher, hug a teacher.
Yeah.
They are not doing well right now.
Yeah. Let's go to the news conference. And I have four clips. I don't know that I'll use all of them here. Here's what we know, and I'll give you just the brief synopsis. The shooter was in the school not for an hour, but for an hour and 20 minutes, we now learn. From 11:32 in the morning until 12:51. We also know that for dozens of minutes, I don't know the exact amount of time, but for a long time, there were, and this will be in the first clip that we play from Colonel Stephen McCraw with the Kansas Department of, or the Texas Department of Public Safety, there were 19 police officers standing outside of the door to the classroom for a long time.
It was 55 minutes.
Okay.
19 officers, 55 minutes.
We will also hear from Colonel Stephen McCraw that they had a student on the phone at 12:16 that afternoon, so about 45 minutes into an hour and 20-minute ordeal, saying that there are 8 or 9 students still alive. It's damning, this press conference that was held earlier today. Here is a portion of it. This is Colonel Stephen McCraw with the Texas Department of Public Safety.
Hey, there was 19, like I said, there was 19 officers in there. In fact, there was plenty of officers to do whatever needed to be done, with one exception, is that the incident commander inside believed they needed more equipment and more officers to do a tactical breach at that point. That's why BORTAC was requested on the scene. As soon as they were there, they executed a search, or at least a dynamic entry, and went in. And of course, that was not till 12. That was not till 12:57. Hey, with the benefit of hindsight, where I'm sitting now, of course it was not the right decision. It was a wrong decision, period. There's no excuse for that.
All right, that is Colonel Stephen McCraw, who said there was no excuse for that. It was the chief of police of the Unified School District. They have 6 officers in the school district police department. It was the chief of that police department who made the decision not to breach the room.
One of the things that no one can understand is that there's this notion that they somehow believed, quote, there were no kids at risk because he was trapped in there with the kids and the 2 teachers who were dead. And they keep saying it was their understanding there were no kids at risk. What makes no sense about that is that in real time, these children were calling 911 and begging for help.
At 12:10, she called back in room 12, advisor, multiple dead. 12:13, again, she called on the phone. Again, at 12:16, she's called back and said there was 8 to 9 students alive. At 12:19, a 911 call was made, and another person in room 111 called. I will not say her name. She hung up when another student told her to hang up. At 12:21, you could hear over the 911 call that 3 shots were fired.
3 shots were fired at 12:19. I believe he just said a student had called at 12:16 saying there are still kids, 8 to 9 kids still alive. This is a disaster in the making. It was a disaster on Tuesday when it happened. This is the epitome, I think, we are learning of how not to handle this situation.
But we know, Scott, history has taught us in this nation of mass shootings, we know how to not handle these situations because of the dead children at Columbine and the dead children at Parkland and the 49 dead in the Pulse nightclub mass shooting. You can't tell me that none of this training or knowledge reached this town in Texas. I don't buy it. They had done active shooter drills here. They obviously had steel doors. So the question then becomes, where is the disconnect between what everyone now knows in this society we've chosen to live in, where you know you go in? You ask my kids, they'll say, oh, no, they go in now. Since Columbine, they go in. And then that didn't happen here. And it's not going to bring the kids back. But is this criminal? Is this criminal negligence? Because you want this to have not happened.
Well, I think the police. I think it's fair to say the police chief's going to be looking for another job.
You know, Scott, you know, for everyone screaming, we need more officers near the school. Okay, there were 19 of them standing outside that door.
Yeah,
we don't need more officers.
The director of the Texas Department of Public Safety said we had enough officers. We had enough. You had 19. The chief of police of the school district police department was the commander on scene, and he decided not to breach the door. It was his decision, according to Colonel Steve McCraw with the Texas Department of Public Safety.
Then you let the parents go in.
We're going to meet with a good friend of the program, former Kansas City, Missouri Police Captain Mark Turman, who will be joining us in studio after our conversation with Captain Turman. You are more than welcome to weigh in. I know many of you do. You can still check in on the text line. I know that they have added the, for those of you with newer cars, just look at your stereo system in the car. The phone number will be featured on it. And that is the same number to call in as it is to text. We've changed the number here. If you look at your display in your car, you should see the phone number. If it's a newer model car, you should see the phone number in your car right there. You can always text us. If you have a question for Captain Turman, he'll be joining us here in just a moment on Dana and Parks. All right, we will play some more of the news conference in a little bit with Colonel Steve McCraw with the Texas Department of Public Safety. And clearly, if you were on the program with us yesterday, they held a news conference just prior to the show yesterday. It didn't go well. So Colonel Steve McCraw, who is the director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, came out today. I watched the entire thing from beginning to end, started right at 11 o'clock, ended at about 11:45. And he was much better than the guy yesterday. He provided a minute-by-minute timeline, even when it was horribly unflattering, and answered tons of questions from the media. So my hat's off in that regard. There was a certain feeling of transparency involved. And I think the parents, more than the public, but the parents deserve some answers now 72 hours after the fact. We do know that the shooter was in the school for an hour and 20 minutes. An hour and 18 to be exact. That for about 45 minutes, there were 19 police officers outside the classroom door. And they decided not to breach the doorway. That decision was made by the chief of police of the school district's police department, even though they had 19 officers in the hallway. At 12:16, a student called, so this is 45 minutes after the fact, 45 minutes with still another 30 minutes to go, and that student said they were in the classroom and there are 8 or 9 students still alive. Former Kansas City, Missouri police captain and good friend of the program, Mark Turman, joining us in studio. Captain, welcome.
Sir, thanks. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Dana.
Can you talk a little bit about the command hierarchy in a situation like this, where it's so obvious to 99.9% of people that this was just a devastating, horrible choice that the commander made? With 19 officers standing there, is there no one that has more authority than that commander that could say, no, we have to go in? They could hear the shots. They could hear the kids.
It's really hard to say and I would love to say with definitive words, who was in charge and why they didn't make the decision to make entry. I can say here in this area, people are empowered. The average officer is empowered and instructed to make entry immediately to save lives, counter to everything that happened in Texas.
Whether there's one of you or 19 of you.
That's correct. And it was a big change. When it first came about, which was around 2000, everybody in Kansas City, Missouri, was retrained. And it was a little rough. Let's be honest. You're walking in undergunned against a person who, A, knows where they're at and what they're doing and has established a hold. And you have officers coming into the blind. That's scary.
But we also now have the hindsight of Columbine, where there was a school resource officer, by the way, who fired a shot and did not hit either one of the gunmen. We have Parkland and that disaster where we know the officers didn't go in. And so I guess it just defies reason that there were so many officers there and no one, until I guess they found a key, was able to go in. And of course, we now know by then it was too late.
Right. And it's too late. And what were they facing? A great example, I had a conversation with the chief today of an area department, and his deputy chief has been working a long time. In every squad car are breaching tools. Every squad car. So the average officer can breach a door in several different ways. That's local.
And that's makes me feel better. But clearly they didn't have that or chose not to use it here. Because one of the things I said to you privately, Mark, was, you know, we are grasping as parents for some reassurance. You're not going to get the guns off the street. You're not going to solve mental health. Other countries have those problems and don't have the rate of slaughter that we do here. Parents are looking for some reassurance that, well, at least, we have police. And this has just ripped open a gaping wound, I think, for parents, where that is the last thing that we rely on. Because you can't fix the other things, or politicians won't fix the other things. And so even to hear that you guys can blast through a door makes me feel better.
But he knows where you're coming from.
Right. And that's the threat. But also here, in speaking locally, that we are, the officers in the area are very well trained. Kansas City, the whole metro area. When I say Kansas City, I mean the whole metro area. It's an extremely well-educated, there are well-educated departments. There are well-armed, they're well-trained. And then it comes down to courage. An example, the Ward Parkway shooting.
Yeah.
You know, our sergeant who, he made entry through Target, and he was the one who, by himself,
took him out,
confronted the shooter. We had Leawood PD coming in off state line. Everybody was converging. And everybody was prepared. It's important.
Former Kansas City, Missouri Police Captain Mark Turman joining us in studio. If you have a question for him, please send it in on the text line, and we'll make sure to ask it for you on the air when we get back after a quick break for the news. The phone number and the text line have changed this week, but they are the same number, whether it's to call in or to text in. And here it is, 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. If you have a question for the captain, we'll get to it here in just a moment after the news on Dana and Parks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. If you have a question for retired Kansas City, Missouri Police Captain Mark Turman, he will answer those questions for you. Just make sure you text them in. We're going to play one more clip here. This is from Colonel Steve McCraw with the Texas Department of Public Safety. He held a news conference earlier today. We carried it live on KMBZ.
At 12:46, she said she could hear the police next door. At 12:50, shots are fired. They can be heard with a 911 call. And 12:51 is very loud and sounds like the officers are moving children out of the room.
All right, that is a new timeline that we were given today by Colonel Steve McCraw. At 12:51 is when they breached the door. And keep in mind that the shooter had entered the school through an unlocked door. It was propped open by a teacher, we later learned, at 11:32. He was in the school for 1 hour and 19 minutes.
And, Captain, someone had suggested yesterday that's the teacher's smoking door. That's probably what that
100%.
Is. And we know that that door was left open. And so another mistake, obviously. One of the things I don't understand, and just asking you to spitball here, is that how could a commander on the scene say they thought he was barricaded in there and that maybe all of the students were dead or there was no additional threat, when we know now there were active 911 calls coming in from children? There's a disconnect somewhere. And I'm not asking you to figure that out, obviously, from where you sit. But as an officer here, you would have dispatch telling you we're getting multiple 911 calls from victims inside. Yet at this scene, they're saying we're not going in because we don't think there's a threat. We think he's just a barricaded subject. Well, if the 911 system failed here, how?
Oh, it sounds like there are multiple points of failure. And you're right. The point of communication, which is so critical, is between that dispatcher and the officers to let them know that right away.
But one of the 911 calls was 1 minute and 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. And it was a child begging for help. And so that's something they're going to have to deconstruct. How in the hell do those officers standing outside the door not know that those calls are coming in?
From the text line, Captain, thank you for your service. Would you please address the reason that there was not an attempt to engage the shooter even through a classroom window? There were windows to the exterior of this classroom. It was not an internal classroom. So there was a door, obviously, leading into classrooms 111 and 112, and both classrooms did have windows facing out. Should they have tried to engage him? Obviously, we're looking at this kind of armchair quarterbacking, and I understand that. Should they have tried to engage him through the windows?
If they had that ability to do that, absolutely. You know, you got to do anything you can to stop the threat as quickly as possible.
What do you, somebody on the text line wants to know, a twofold question here. How are school resource officers selected? Do they volunteer for that work, or are they chosen? And if so, how? And also, do you foresee in the future more SROs in public schools?
Well, that's a really good question. A couple different points. Number one, every department chooses their officers based on how they are working with that school district and what the school district is wanting. Keep in mind, a school resource officer, their duties will depend on how the school district wants to view it. So, for example, do they want more of a DARE officer or an anti-drug officer or a community partnership? Or do they want somebody standing there whose main role is safety and security, and that's the role? So it depends on the school district and the partnership between the police department. You also will look for different types of officers based on that. Obviously, it seems very obvious, common sense, that in any school situation, you want somebody who gets along with kids first and foremost, because it's a way to reach out.
Build relationships. You know, we saw this where someone went to a trusted person. I think it was in Olathe East, and said, "We think there's a kid here with a gun." You want those relationships with the SROs. And I've always said they work really, really hard 364 days out of the year. It's the one day out of the year where something like this goes down that we are all hoping and praying that they are there and ready to go. And I have no doubt in my mind that, just like the teachers listening right now, the SROs have to be shattered by this. I think police officers are shattered by what they're seeing out of Texas, because it goes so against everything that you've been trained to do.
Absolutely. 100%. As a graduate of the FBI National Academy, I can tell you across the country that my friends were communicating, and everybody's broken by it. And everybody's asking the same questions. It's not just here in Kansas City. It is from coast to coast, literally.
They're saying the FBI will not come in and take over this investigation. Is that unusual? Do you think there needs to be a third-party umbrella organization looking at timeline? Or is there enough evidence with body cameras that a local police department could, with full transparency, handle the enormity of the aftermath of what's happened here?
Well, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the Texas Department of Safety is taking that role.
Okay.
And that's why the FBI is not stepping in. That would be the first and appropriate route to go.
Several people are asking on the text line regarding the propped open door. Let me address this if it's okay with both of you. They did address that during the news conference. The door was propped open by a teacher. And I can only imagine the guilt that this teacher must be feeling today. What happened was the shooter wrecked his grandmother's truck at 11:30 in the morning in a ravine right next to the school. He exits the truck with his guns, and two men run out from a nearby funeral home to check on him to make sure he's okay. He turns and fires at the two men running towards his truck from the funeral home, who were running towards him to check on him. They head back, run into the funeral home. At this point, a teacher in the school hears commotion from outside, props open the door to take a look, sees that there is a guy running around with a gun, or hears gunshots. They weren't very clear about that part, but realizes there's a problem, and leaves the door propped open to go back into the school to get her phone, comes back out through the propped open door and dials 911, goes back into the school after dialing 911, and inadvertently and accidentally leaves the door propped open.
Wow.
And that is how he gained access to the school.
You know, it's one of the things is, how are teachers going to react in a critical incident? Teachers aren't trained for critical incidents. So it's based on their knowledge, experience, if they have any military experience. But when you are in a critical incident, you lose your ability. Looking at a piece of paper is really hard when your adrenaline's pumping and you're scared. And that's what police officers train and firefighters train, EMTs train, to deal with that fear as they're dealing with it. The firefighters that went up to Twin Towers in 9/11, they all knew they were going to die. They did. And they went up anyways. That means they fought back on the natural reactions that their body was telling them.
You train the fear out of them, right?
Or you train to not deal with the fear at the time.
Okay.
We would be remiss if we did not at least acknowledge, and this happened after Sandy Hook, the devastation, Mark, and the fallout for the first responders. And as angry and devastated as everybody is that this was, by all accounts, a colossal failure, I don't know how you could go into that room and see what they saw and come out not a shell of who you were. You've dealt with trauma and you've dealt with death in your career, Mark. I don't know how many times in a small town like Uvalde they dealt with dead children, and certainly not a mass casualty event of children. I don't know how the teachers go past this.
It's a really good question. I'll tell you, in Kansas City, the volume of sex crimes against children, I could never do that job. It's just too close and personal. But we have detectives that have done great jobs with this over the years on hundreds of cases. Can you imagine that?
No.
Hundreds of cases dealing, and these are kids that have survived, now go into this critical incident. It's hard.
Former Kansas City, Missouri Police Captain Mark Turman joining us in studio. If you have a question, you're welcome to text it in. The number should be displayed on your stereo display inside of your car so that I don't have to keep repeating it over and over again. But it has changed by one digit. One of the texts that we got earlier, Mark, was this. There were 19, we now know, according to the colonel from the Texas Department of Public Safety, there were 19 police officers inside of that hallway outside of room 112 and 111 for anywhere between 40 to 51 minutes. The colonel today said that the reason they did not breach the room through the door was because of an order from the chief of police from the school district's police department. With 18 other officers there, could they have overridden him? Could they have said, no, sir, what you're telling us is wrong. It goes against everything we've been taught. This was not that they're going to get into this kind of a lecture, but you get my point. This is everything that we've been taught not to do for the last 23 years since Columbine. I'm going in and he's going in with me. Could they have overridden his decision?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's the conundrum that they face. They make that decision. And this is, of course, just hypothetical in a vacuum.
Yes.
And looking back.
Well, they make that decision. During their entry, there's a gunfight and other children are killed. Then because police work right now throughout the country is under such a microscope, then the issue comes back on the officers. Had you not done that, these children would be alive. That's the conundrum.
But I do think there would be more of a public understanding that you had to go in and try. You had to go in and try. And that a very evil person was inside. If you didn't go in, they'd all be dead. And I think there'd be a lot less outrage over that scenario than there is over what happened or didn't. I should say what didn't happen here.
Well, and I think we're getting to the point now in the society. We've had so many of these issues that you're correct. That's what people want. Go in, save my child. Give it a shot. That's what you're being paid for.
Can we talk a little bit, maybe we have to do this on the other side, about the proliferation of the Kevlar vests that we're starting to see some of these idiots wearing, why those are available, and to what extent does that change your training and your tactics? Some of the latest mass shooters had these vests on. So for anyone saying, oh, we should arm teachers. Okay, so now you're asking a teacher not just to shoot and fire without the training. You're asking them to take a headshot because the veteran Buffalo police officer at the grocery store last week tried to take that suspect out.
And did hit him.
And it didn't matter because of his body armor.
We'll get with former Kansas City, Missouri Police Captain Mark Turman. More of your call, or more of your questions coming in through the text line when we return here on Dana and Parks. Former Kansas City, Missouri Police Captain and good friend of the program, Mark Turman, is joining us in studio. And thank you in advance, good sir, for your time. You're always generous with it, and we do appreciate that.
Thank you.
We should point out, because there is going to be, certainly today, in most media and over the weekend and in just general conversation with your family and with your friends, there's going to be multiple rounds of criticism coming in for the way that this situation was handled down in Uvalde, Texas. We want to be very clear, and Dana and I have been accused in the past of being too pro-police. I still believe, and I know I speak for Dana here, that the overwhelming majority of police officers are good and get in for the right reasons and want to serve, and they do want to protect their community. What happened in Uvalde is going to be studied and studied again. It is, on its face, it looks to be an absolute disaster in the way that police departments respond to active shooter situations inside of schools. It almost feels like we have gone back in time, yes, to 1999 again.
This school had a fence-lined area around the school. Teachers were ordered to keep classroom doors closed and locked. Students faced regular lockdown and evacuation drills. There was an armed SRO there, not there on that day. He was off-site, but they did have an armed SRO. You know, people are calling for more security, Mark. My God, I just don't think that there's anything more that could have been done except for this response or this failed lack of response. Talk a little bit about the vest. We know there were initial reports that he was wearing one. That turns out to be false. He did not have the protective plate on him. But we know in the Buffalo shooting, that evil person had a vest. Scott asked off the air yesterday, why are people allowed to buy those?
That's a good question. It used to be that you couldn't. And the law changed at some point, which allowed people to buy them. Now, I'm not sure from where.
Right.
Because of most of the law enforcement stores that I'm familiar with, they don't sell to citizens. But if somebody's working as a security guard, they can buy one for their needs.
Sure. Which you would want them to be able to do. And sure, then it becomes, okay, how do you let a security guard buy one, but you don't let some guy on the internet buy one? And I suppose I get that. But police cannot be pro body armor on these shooters. I mean, this is one of the reasons the officer in Buffalo was not able to take that guy out.
Right.
I would imagine over the course of the next 3 months, obviously the shooting down in Texas coming as most schools are either out of class for the summer or about to be out of class. I would imagine, and there are 130,000 public and private schools in these United States. 130,000.
Wow.
I would imagine that administrators in every one of those school districts, and quite frankly, principals and vice principals in every one of those schools, will be taking a very hard look this summer at their security apparatus or lack thereof.
Oh, 100%.
What should parents be asking, Mark? If you have questions as a parent, what should you be asking of your district?
Well, that's a really good question, because that begs, what do you want, first of all?
Right.
Well, we want our children to be secure. We want a secure facility. Do we want to be, to when we make entry, that we have to have an ID? Do we want the doors locked? How do we want? There's a lot of inconvenience, which people say they want something,
right,
but then there's an inconvenience that's attached to it. But are we finally willing to put up with the inconvenience? For example, look at this incident in Texas. With all the doors locked, is he able to gain entry? Does this incident occur? Does he run off to some other place? You know, these are the basic questions, and it all starts with site security.
He was shooting at the school prior to making entry to the school, but your question is strong. If that door, and man, what an if that door had not been accidentally left propped open by a teacher minutes before, would he have just moved on and then possibly neutralized before he had gotten to his next target?
Right. And these are the questions that we want to ask the schools. We also want to ask, what sort of security setup do we have? Shawnee Mission, Blue Valley, Kansas City, there are a lot of strong school systems. Olathe, they are really involved. They are really engaged. And they always look for, even the universities, we have kids in the universities right now. Yeah. And the university police chiefs will address the freshman classes. And they come in and they address the parents. We are here. We have people. And we're very fortunate here in the area that we have very involved security groups. So back to your question, Dana, what do we want? That's each school district is going to be different. And the school board ultimately makes that decision. Getting back to our earlier question, how much partnership will the school board enact with the local police department?
Did we just get lazy over the last 10 years since Sandy Hook? I mean, doors are left propped open. 19 officers are standing in a hallway waiting for 50 minutes to reach the door. Did we just forget?
No, I think it's more that we just don't think it's going to happen here. I think that's it. Why it's not going to happen in here. It's
even though it keeps happening.
Everywhere. And you never know where. But let me point out something that's really, really important. And I hope it's coming up on the text line saying how many people knew about the shooter's ideas and who was he communicating with and why aren't people reaching out to whomever, to the school, to the police departments. That is the key, because in most instances, all these things could have been prevented if somebody had spoken up and said, hey, Joe over here is planning X, Y, and Z.
Let me ask you about that. If I called a local police department in Kansas City, saw a very disturbing Facebook post, I wonder if most people think your call is going to be lost in a shuffle because it's not like, Kansas City, God knows, has a ton of stuff on their plate. But if you call and get the right person and you say, I've seen something, I don't want to say what are the odds that that's going to be taken seriously, but what are the odds that's going to be taken seriously?
Well, it's a good question. And I think to your point, now I think they're going to be taken more seriously now.
Because it's not illegal to post a gun on Facebook. Look at my gun. Look at me.
Just found this at the gun show.
Yeah. It's after it crosses over. And in these last two cases, it crossed over within, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
15 minutes before this happened?
Former Kansas City, Missouri Police Captain Mark Terman, always good to see you. Have a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me.
Be safe, my friend.
Quick break for the news. Festivus Friday at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.